Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and I really don't get used to the level that we're hitting this week. Every show, it hitting out of the park. We can't do that. We can't keep up this pace every day, so I don't want you to get in the habit. But man, another great one today. Second hour, Carla Broussard is going to be here, and this hour, Dr. Edward Sri, and you probably know Dr. Sri if you've seen Symbolon, the series that he did on explained the Catholic faith. So many wonderful books: No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion, Who Am I to Judge, Walking with Mary, and of course, also one of the founders of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So that's a pretty good resume. But today we're going to talk about one of his more recent books, and that is did I mention all the books? Yeah, I think I did. So I want to talk today with Dr. Sri about, we're going to talk a little bit about the art of living, the cardinal virtues and the freedom to love. Dr. Edward Sri, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Good to be with you again.
The art of living, really? What is it? What's that? What's that title all about, the art of living?
It's really not my own. I stole it from Pope Benedict. It's a phrase he used in an address he gave many years ago, even before he was Pope. He was talking about like the challenge in passing on the faith today in our very secularized world in which we're living. And he points out that the problem today isn't simply that we've turned away from faith, that we don't know enough theology, we don't know the catechism. That's a crisis in and of itself.
Yes.
He just says that the crisis is so much bigger than that. He says, as we've turned away from the gospel, we've also turned away from just basic human values. He says, we don't know how to live anymore. We don't know the basics of how to live life, right? We don't know. You hear this from many young people. So my work with FOCUS, I'm so blessed to work with these awesome young people that love Jesus. They love going to adoration. They love learning about their faith. But they have very basic questions about friendship. How do I live friendship well? How do I live in community and fellowship with others? Dating relationships. They got tons of questions about that. I've just been at multiple campuses just in the last couple of weeks, and they all come out because they're really eager to hear about a Catholic vision for dating. They don't know about how to do that well. And then they see what the culture is offering. That's not working. But I hear it also from other young adults, like when they're engaged and they're going to get married. My wife and I mentor many young engaged couples, and many of them are looking for mentoring because they didn't have good examples at home. Maybe they came from broken homes. They don't know how do you live marriage. And then people get married and they have babies, and there's tons of questions there. How do you discipline the kids? How do you raise them? How do you get them sleep through the night? How do you build a good Catholic culture in the home when there's all these other secular pressures around us? You know, how do you do parenting well? So think about this, the basic things in life today, what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, how to live friendship, how to live dating, how to live marriage, how to raise kids. We have lost the art of living. And that's Pope Benedict's big point. And the good news is that there is a great tradition on how to live the art of living, how to live relationships well. It's called the virtues. And there's a great tradition of the four cardinal virtues that goes all the way back, not just to the apostles and to Jesus. It even goes back to the Jewish scriptures in the Old Testament, to great thinkers like Plato, Aristotle. And that tradition had been passed on from generation to generation. In our modern era, though, we've jettisoned all that tradition and just told young people, be yourself, be your own person, and figure life out on your own. And it leaves them just wandering, navigating, unsure how to do the basics. We teach them to build skyscrapers and rockets and do math and science, but we don't teach them to build the most human. How do you build friendship, family life, love?
Oh, 888-318-7884 is our number. And then you have to replace that then with other things. You cast about. So many young people, the sad thing is the years and decades wasted casting about looking for what actually satisfies the human heart.
You know, I'll say this is my experience. And again, I hear this all the time, whether it's from young single people on a college campus or young professionals in their 20s and 30s. When they first start hearing just some of the basics about virtue and friendship, like what are the virtues and how much of a difference it makes in your friendships, when they hear about the virtues and how it affects dating relationships, how to build virtuous dating relationships, they're always like, this just makes so much sense. Why didn't anyone tell me this before?
Right.
It would have spared me so much heartache. I hear it from many parents that are in their 40s and 50s saying, I wish I heard about the virtues. I would have been such a better husband.
Right.
I would have been such a better dad. I wouldn't have made those mistakes with my kids. And so this is the I would say the kind of wickedness in our modern era is that there's a wonderful tradition on the basics, just the very ABCs of how to live life well.
Right.
And our modern secular age and our school system and the media and the entertainment, it just withholds this tradition, hiding it from a generation that's longing for wisdom on how to live life well.
Again, if you'd like to talk with Dr. Sri, 888-318-7884. The Art of Living is the book we're discussing. And also the topic, if you'd like to, maybe you're being struck with the fact that no one ever taught you the art of living, or you'd like to help your children or your students learn the art of living. The full title, The Art of Living, The Cardinal Virtues, and The Freedom to Love. How about that? What's that all about? The Cardinal Virtues and The Freedom to Love.
You know, this is something is really at the very heart of the book is the connection between virtue and love. You see, I used to think, so I grew up in Catholic schools and I heard about virtues. You know, I remember going for confirmation and there'd be these banners up at Mass with different virtues like fortitude and piety and fear of the Lord and temperance, you know, and you know, you're learning about different virtues. And again, that was noble. But I think I had a very individualistic understanding of the virtues. Like, in other words, the virtues were more for me, to help me be a better person, for my own self-improvement project. So I want to grow in this virtue, in this virtue. And they're kind of like badges you can earn, you know, to like be a good Boy Scout for Jesus. I earned this badge. I've got fortitude now. You know, again, it was all for like me and my relationship with God and my own personal spiritual life or my personal just improvement in life to be the best, you know, person I could be. And that's fine. But as I've grown older and looking at what the Catholic faith actually teaches about virtue, and just from my own life experience, I realized virtue is not just for me. In other words, my wife needs me to be virtuous. My kids need me to be virtuous. Because here's the deal. The more I grow in like virtues, like generosity and courage and patience and prudence, I can do generous and patient and courageous things to bless the people around me.
Yes.
But to the extent I lack virtue, that's not just a problem for me. The extent I lack virtue, I can't love the people around me well. So let me make this really clear. If I lack generosity, that's not just an Edward Sweet problem. If I struggle with selfishness, that's a Beth Sweet problem. My wife suffers
right
when I fall selfishness. When I lose my patience, that's not just a problem for me. Oh, I need to work on patience. No, it's a problem for my kids. I really love my kids. I really do. But I know when I lack patience, it hurts them. So this is the thing, you know, anyone can say, I love you. You know, anyone can say those words. Some people might sincerely mean those words, but it's really only the person with virtue, with character, that's capable of loving. So this is that idea that, like, virtue gives me the freedom to love. And when I lack virtue, no matter how much I may desire to love this person, I'm just not able to be the husband, the dad, the parent, the friend, the colleague, the parishioner, and ultimately the son of God that God made me to be.
Again, our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking with Dr. Edward Sri about The Art of Living, his book, The Art of Living, The Cardinal Virtues and the Freedom to Love, available wherever good books are sold. It does seem to me that there's a kind of maybe a tendency to think that we just lost these virtues, you know, because with the rise of pop culture and all the media and everything like that, there's a way in which there's a kind of undermining of virtues that can happen because, you know, media sells better when it's salacious or when it's sexualized or when it's violent. And so that would seem to undermine virtue. But it seems to me that part of what you're saying is it's not just, oh, well, the culture lost this. It seems to me that there's something, there's kind of been an active almost intentional losing of these virtues as we chose other things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happens is when we lose virtue, it really, you know, we're not able to give the best of ourselves in whatever God is calling us to, whether it's, you know, again, family life or whether it's my spiritual life, all these things. You know, maybe another example I often like to use is, you know, like think of virtue as like the skills we need to love. I think when we see that, we really see the tragedy of what we've lost when we haven't effectively trained people in virtue. So by way of analogy, I use this story a lot. You know, my father is a surgeon, and, you know, he's retired now. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up, he showed me pictures of his surgery. I met his patients. I used to grow up as a little kid looking at his anatomy books. And so I have a kind of fascination about surgery. And if you heard that today, I still value surgery, and I hold surgeons in high esteem. I get kind of warm memories and strong feelings about surgery. If I heard, Cy, that you needed surgery, and I said, oh, I love surgery. I'm passionate about surgery. I'm so excited. Cy, come over. Come on my table. I'll do the surgery for you. Would you get on that operating table with me as your doctor? No way. I'm not that kind of doctor, yeah. Right? I don't have the skills of a surgeon. That's obvious, right? You would never do that. But yet, how many people jump into friendships, dating relationships, business partnerships, and marriage without ever asking the question of virtue, right? So virtue is like the life skill, the basic life skill I need to be able to give myself as a gift in love to God and to the people in my life. That's what we lose when we turn away from virtue.
888-318-7884. We have to take our first break. We'll do that and then take your calls for Dr. Edward Sree. Dr. Sree, I don't know. It's known for so many different things. I don't know which thing you know him for. Maybe you know him for it's just thousands and thousands of young people's lives transformed by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and continuing to be transformed up until today and into the future, I'm sure. But also, you might know Dr. Sree from Symbolon. His work, you probably maybe saw it on EWTN. Maybe you did it as a program in your parish to understand the Catholic faith, or from all these wonderful books, including The Art of Living, The Cardinal Virtues, and The Freedom to Love. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. Right back with more with Dr. Edward Sree.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The EWTN on-demand platform features 50 new podcasts every week, as well as an ever-expanding library of audio and video content. For Catholics who want to learn more about their faith, simply using their mobile device, computer, or TV. Your favorite EWTN programs are available 24/7. Visit EWTN.com and click On Demand. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. Our guest is Dr. Edward Sree, and we're talking about the art of living. It's fascinating to think that we are almost, in a sense, I don't know, programmed or educated or formed to think that what are needed are systemic or technical solutions to our problems. So if you said to someone, well, what you're missing is the art of living, and that art involves virtue, someone might say, well, how do we get that? How do we get virtue? And it's not going to be the same way that you get technical skill or systemic change. So how do I get it, Dr. Sree? I want these virtues that you say will change life for me and for my community. How do I get them?
Yeah, this is one of the big questions everyone always has. They hear this, and I will tell you, as I've been speaking around the country now that the book is out on this topic, I am just been so moved at how many people want to learn more. It's an interesting thing. You know, if when you're out speaking, and I don't know if you notice this, but usually who is it that buys books, the men or the women? It's typically women, 70% are at my book table buying books. For this book here, it's like 50-50. I see a lot of guys, and I've been asking them, saying, so tell me, what is it that's resonating with you? You know, what hit you? What made you want to get this? And you know what they all tell me? They say, I want to be a better dad. And I know I have gaps in virtue that's keeping me from being that dad I need to be, or I need to be a better husband, you know. And these are good, devout, committed Catholic men,
right?
And that's fascinating. So, and they have this question: How? Yeah. Okay, I get the vision. How do I grow? Now, I do work it into the talk as well. How do you grow in virtue? So I'm going to share with you a few things so we can go through them one by one. There's three main things that I want to share with you, and I want to be clear, they're not my ideas. This is just from the great tradition of our Catholic faith, and you find them in the Catechism as well. Three things you need to grow in virtue. The first, the Catechism says we have to educate ourselves in the virtues. We have to learn about them. You know, sadly, most of us didn't grow up with a training in the virtues, at least an intentional training. We never learned about them. You know, I would argue that, you know, 95% of Catholics probably couldn't even name the four cardinal virtues, these four basic virtues. They're called cardinal from the Latin word hinge. And all the other virtues hinge on these four. I like to say our life hinges on these four basic natural virtues. There's faith, hope, and charity, supernatural level. But these are the four basic virtues that even non-Christians like Aristotle, Plato, and others saw. What are those? So prudence and fortitude and temperance and justice. We could talk about more of those later. But most Catholics couldn't even name the four cardinal virtues. And even the ones that could, I would bet 99% of them couldn't tell me, okay, if you want to be a prudent person, what are the three steps of prudence according to Aquinas? And this is just basic stuff. They probably couldn't tell us, you know, okay, what are the, if you want to be a courageous man, what are the virtues you need to be courageous? And what are the kinds of vices, weaknesses that try to get into our heart and mind to undermine our courage? You know, like, in other words, they might be able to, maybe I heard of the four of cardinal virtues, but I don't really know how they all work together and how I grow in them. I know I was that way. I didn't grow up learning all these things. I heard about some virtues, but I didn't really see what the Catholic tradition lays out for us or how all these virtues are interconnected and give me a full picture of a human life so I can live them in my marriage, in my family, in my friendships, in all my relationships. So we have to educate ourselves. So how do we do that? That's another question. You know, yeah, you could take classes. You know, I wrote the book because I wanted to unpack that tradition and make it very accessible. That even a high school kid could read this with real life examples from real, you know, marriage, family life, workplace environment. So learning about the virtues is crucial. But I always like to say that I think reading the saints is also really helpful.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to just know a concept in your head. It's another thing to see an example of virtue lived out in real life. So, you know, if you want to go after virtue, you got to educate yourself. How do you do that? Learn about the virtues themselves. And fill your mind with the stories of the saints, because that'll just, when you have those stories in your head, that's going to help you in those moments when you need to be virtuous. You know, like when somebody at work makes a mistake, if all you have in your head are things, scenes from The Office, you know, you're probably just going to be sarcastic, make some critical joke, and that's not really helpful. But if you have St. Therese in your head and how she handled when people hurt her, when people did, you know, silly things and drop the ball. How did she respond? With patience, with gentleness, with firmness? Like, I want the stories of Jesus, the stories of the saints in my head to help me be more virtuous.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. But I feel like I should ask you, you named the four cardinal virtues, and then you mentioned that there are people who don't know the three steps to prudence. And I can't believe there's anyone out there, and it's not me. I'm not the one. I know them, I'm sure. But could you just repeat them for our audience? Because I know, seriously, I know them. I know them by heart, but just for our audience. I don't want to do it. I don't want to show off by showing that I know them. So what are they?
Well, hey, I want you to know, Cy, too, that, again, I grew up Catholic. You know, I'm blessed to have had many good priests in my life. I did a master's degree in theology. And even in my master's, I probably came across it, but I did not leave my master's having memorized the three steps of prudence. Sadly, I wish I did. I mean, again, it's just kind of basic ABCs on how to live life. I went on and did my doctorate. In my doctorate, I had to memorize some things for classes I took. But it really was when I started teaching and when I had my own marriage and my own family life, I think that's when all of a sudden all the stuff about virtue that I had gradually been learning more and more about, it really hit home. When I had a wife and I have a child and I'm studying the virtues and I'm realizing my lack of virtue is keeping me from loving them the way I want to love them. So it's very personal. That's what got me pouring out into the virtues, was because I just knew my own gaps and I wanted to love my wife better. I wanted to love my daughter better. Yeah. I wanted to be a better friend and a better Christian. So there's no worries if people don't know these things. The question is, do you want to go after them? So to answer your question, three steps of prudence, according to Aquinas, simple. It's just first step is counsel. Like any, what is prudence? It's making wise decisions based on the end in mind, the goal you have. Like, what is it that you're trying to do? You know, what's the goal? And then you make decisions in the present to lead you toward that future goal. That's prudence. And the first step of prudence is you got to, Aquinas calls it counsel. It's you gather the information. You're going to buy a car. You don't just pass a dealer and go, oh, Ford Mustangs, you know, are $50 sale. Oh, I'll buy that. I have a family of 8 children. Ford Mustang probably doesn't help me that much. I have a family of 8 children. Ford Mustang probably out of my budget. I need to think through, okay, what's the budget? What kind of car do I need? I need a minivan. I probably need a megavan. I got to think about that. Then I maybe do consumer reports. I get do some research. I test drive the car. I mean, there's a lot of things you do to gather the information. Sadly, many people just rush into decisions. They just kind of, you know, make a decision. You know, I'll do this. And then later, like, why did I do that? You know, somebody asks you out on a date and some girl says yes. And then later she's like, why did I just say yes? You know, or somebody asks you at church, hey, can you help out with this? And you're a people pleaser. So you like to please people. So you say yes. And then later you're like, I don't have time for that. You didn't think through your decision. You just made an impulse decision. That's one weakness. Second step of prudence is what Aquinas calls judgment, where you judge, you get all the information, all the data, like a detective. Now you have to weigh the evidence and make a wise judgment on what should I do? What's the greatest good? What's going to be the best way to get there? Aquinas says the only way that we learn this particular virtue is with life experience, with many mistakes, and you learn over time. And this is why, you know, I always say to young people, Aquinas says this too, well, how does a young person, you're in your 20s, how do you learn this step of prudence? You can't learn it on your own. You learn it, you're gonna have to learn it over time, but you can learn from your elders. You learn from those that have gone before you. You find mentors. I'm so blessed, you know, when I was in my late 20s and early 30s, when we're raising kids, I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I had so many friends several steps ahead of me that I could learn from them, learn from their mistakes, learn from what they did well. That's how you learn this step of prudence. And the final step of prudence, so you got to collect the data, you weigh the evidence, and then lastly, decisiveness. Decisiveness. You have to put your decisions into action. You can, you know, have 5 spiritual directors. You bounce an idea off. You do 20 all this, but you just never plant the flag. And we live in an era of people that are so indecisive today, where they're they don't even know what to order on a menu, you know, but any big decision becomes like this big overwhelming thing. We need to be decisive and be willing. And I think it's because we're afraid of 2 things. And Aquinas brings this out, actually. We're afraid that it's going to be really, really hard. We're afraid of all the arduous work or suffering that this difficult thing, I think God's asking me to have a difficult conversation with someone or to break up a relationship or, you know, and it's take on this task, but it's going to be really hard. So it keeps me from doing what I should do is I'm afraid of all the work that it's going to be, but I'm also afraid of failure. I'm just so scared that it won't work out. And if I'm afraid of failure, you know, I just want to control everything and have everything just so sure. So I make a decision and then I won't have to suffer. And I think God wants us to be not so in control and realize, look, you might make a decision and it might not be the best one, but he can write straight with our crooked lines. And we should trust him that he can bring good out of that even when we make a mistake in a decision.
Dr. Edward Sree, our guest, we're talking about the art of living and all this wisdom that's hundreds, thousands of years has been gathering, and natural philosophers and through the revelation of the Lord, so many things revealed to us about how to live, and it's a wisdom that has been forgotten. The Art of Living, the Cardinal Virtues and Freedom, the Freedom to Love is the name of Dr. Sree's book. I have been too late in going to calls. Adam in Oklahoma, listening on EWTN Radio. Why don't you start us off, Adam? Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Sree. So I'm one of the young adults, thousands of young adults whose hearts you've moved. My wife's a focus missionary. We just recently got married. And I'm wondering, what would be some advice you'd give to young adults like myself who are just recently out of college and, I don't know, just kind of feeling daunted about the 9-to-5 life and going from like being in a community full of Catholics where you're praying in a church every day to not really having time to go to a church and pray a holy hour every day, as well as just kind of feeling like overburdened by the work and not used to working like 8 hours straight versus college where you're kind of back and forth. And then like, yeah, there's just, you know, the rush hour traffic, the tiredness that goes along with that. So yeah, what would be some advice you'd give? And I was also kind of wondering, like, as, you know, as a lay person, what is the obligation there? Is it just kind of as your spiritual director, like guidance from your spiritual director as you see fit as far as like how much you should pray?
Adam, yeah. We're going to have to let Dr. Sri take a minute. Well, this is good. We'll get a minute to think about it. So you're going to get top-notch Dr. Sri answer. But we got to take a break. So can you hang on a quick second, Adam?
Yep. Sounds good.
Thanks. All right. Thank you. We'll be right back with more on The Art of Living with Dr. Edward Sri. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Tomorrow morning on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the Feast of Saint Scholastica, and Dr. John Bergsma will tell us about the tradition of prophetic celibacy in the Old Testament. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, Carlo is going to be here, so stick around for that. This hour, Dr. Edward Sri, the maker of Symbolon, one of the founders of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which has just grown into a magnificent international organization with thousands and thousands of young people who have benefited from it. One of them is Adam, who is on the line with us, recently graduated college, is married now, and just looking for some help on how much to pray, what to do about work, all of that. You still with us, Adam?
Yes, sir.
All right, Dr. Sri.
Adam. Yeah, thank you so much for your question. And Sai and I were just talking at the break. We want to honor you. We were talking about the virtue of decisiveness. And that's one big thing with guys, you know, we see with college students, young adults, they tend to like put off decisions, particularly big decisions like marriage in our culture today. So God bless you. You got married. You were decisive. Your wife, I'm sure, is grateful for that as well. But I want to honor you for that. That's awesome. You know, there's two things you talked about, I think. You know, one is about prayer and how do you fit prayer life in? And then how do you deal with work? So let's talk about those two things. First of all, prayer. You are called to keep praying in the midst of marriage and family life. And you got an 8-to-5 job. That's hard. You know, it's, you know, you don't have all that extra time in between classes where you could stop by the chapel, and it's not like easy for you. You just walk over and there's praise and worship night or something. We have a responsibility before God to have prayer, a daily prayer life, and that's hard to fit in. So you're gonna have to fight for that. Now, does that prayer life have to look like it did on campus? So one thing my wife and I often talk to young couples about is this, is two things. You have to be faithful, but you have to be willing to be flexible. So faithfulness and flexibility. What do I mean by faithfulness? You need to pray every day. Your wife needs to pray every day. Your wife has, let's say you start having babies, and it's hard, it's gonna be even harder to try to find time for prayer. Prayer has to happen, but you might have to be flexible. Maybe prayer doesn't look the same. So maybe you're not able to get to the chapel every day and from the Blessed Sacrament. But what you're gonna do is maybe you get up early and you pray at home, because there's not enough time to get to the chapel. Or maybe you don't get to do a holy hour, but you do a holy half hour on your way home from work or on your way to work in the morning. If you could do a holy hour and get the full hour in, go for it. But you also want to just be, there's going to be seasons in your life, Adam, where your wife is, you know, she's pregnant, she's having morning sickness, she needs you to be around to help or something. And you might not, and you're going to say, but I need to get to the chapel. Meet Jesus in your vocation. Be there for your wife whenever she needs you. Don't use the Adoration Chapel as an excuse to not be there for your wife. At the same time, don't use your wife as an excuse for not getting prayer time in. Your prayer time might be, oh, I'm going to have to pray at home today. And that's okay, but you took time for it. Your wife might be used to doing a holy hour, but now she's got a little baby and she can't bring the baby in the holy hour all the time. The baby is now a toddler crawling around. What is she going to do? Well, many moms, what they do is say, oh, I just can't pray anymore. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, is to give up our prayer, St. Catherine of Siena says, that he does everything he can to get us to stop daily prayer. But your wife may not get to a chapel, but maybe she's going to have to pray while she's nursing a baby. Maybe she's going to have to pray like 10 minutes, like when the kids are playing, and now all of a sudden there's a dirty diaper, and then she's got to get lunch ready, and now she prays for like 10 more minutes while they're eating their lunch. And prayer is going to be chaotic. It might not be as pretty and as beautiful as it was when she was on campus. But what the Lord sees is her heart, that she's desiring to make it a priority and fit it in somehow. And so the key is you're faithful. Every day you're getting some quiet time in prayer. I would say try to get at least 20, 30 minutes in minimum. You know, if you can get an hour, awesome. But there'll be seasons where you can't. Get that prayer time in. But be very flexible, patient with yourself in when you pray, how you pray, what it looks like. I can remember holding a little baby and like, you know, that's crying. We had a baby with lots of allergies, got up at 4 a.m. every morning. So I would take the baby so my wife could sleep. And I knew it'd be the only time I could get prayer in that day. And I'm 4 a.m. pacing back and forth in my living room, reading a line from Imitation of Christ, barely awake, trying to get in. I'm saying to my spiritual director, I can't pray a holy hour anymore. My spiritual life is ruined, you know, with this fourth child now. And my spiritual director says, No. Your spiritual life isn't ruined. It's going to the next level. This is your holy hour. You're meeting Jesus in the confines of your vocation. So be ready to be faithful, but be flexible. Last thing, you talked about work. You mentioned, you know, like it's kind of hard. You know, you're used to on campus a little more leisure, a little more time for fellowship, more time to like pray and all that. And now you got this big 8-to-5 thing in the middle of your day. Don't look at that as an obstacle to your spiritual life. Look at that as the very place Jesus wants to meet you. Because you're a man and you're providing for your family, probably. I'm assuming that's the case. And Jesus is calling you to do that. That's your vocation. And you need to work. Give your best to your work. Pour your life out into it so that it advances your career and you can provide for your family better. That's a good thing. But see that Jesus wants to meet you now in this new place. And so that might mean you're going to have to get up earlier in the morning to get your prayer life in. On campus, maybe you could sleep in longer. You know, it's easier to fit it in. I don't know, but it's going to be a little harder. So maybe you have to get up earlier, or maybe you have to stay up later. You have to figure out, or maybe you're going to use your lunch break instead of hanging out with friends. I'm going to use my lunch break to get prayer time in. Fight for the time, but know that you have a different community life now. It was bigger with the campus ministry. Now your community, your primary community, is in your marriage. And if you're blessed with children, it's going to be with your children. And work is not something opposed to this. There's a movement out there that they think work is detrimental to family life. No, God made us for work. Adam was called to till the soil and guard the garden, and you know, and that's a part of what it means to be a man. And so look at it as this is God now trying to meet me in a new way. And it's understandable. It's going to be an adjustment, time of transition. That's normal. But know that God wants to find you in a new rhythm, and work itself is not an obstacle. It's actually the place that Jesus wants to meet you in your vocation now.
Okay, Adam.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Dr. Sri. Certainly, the new job has created in me a newfound appreciation for fathers in particular, just because I come home exhausted and then I'm like thinking about being a dad. I'm like, wow, how do dads do this?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah. You know, your mother tells you when you're young that someday you're going to appreciate it. And then one day you do appreciate it, but you got to get a lot of experience before you do. Adam, God bless you. Thank you. And God bless you and your bride in your newly commenced journey together as husband and wife. Dr. Edward Sri is our guest. We're talking about the art of living. Maybe it's something that you'd like to teach to your children. Maybe it's something that you've reached a later stage in life at and have not endeavored upon, but you'd like some advice on how to get started. You're welcome here. 888-318-7884. Going out to Texas now. Scott in Texas, listening on 910 AM. Go ahead, Scott, with your question for Dr. Sri.
Hello, Dr. Sri. Listen, I've been watching yourself and Jeff Cavins and Dr. Italy give the video series. We enjoy it very much. It's 6 a.m. Thursday morning men's club, or men's prayer group. We enjoy it very much. Anyway, I don't want to blab and blab. Let me get straight to my question, okay?
Great.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. From what you just told Adam, I think I'm asking the right person. How do you gain wisdom? I really want to gain wisdom. I have a friend who says stuff to me, and somehow she is just naturally wise. But how do you gain wisdom? Can you give me some insight into that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, the fact that you're in a men's group early in the morning, you're surrounding yourself with good men, that's helping you. And you're trying to do things for faith formation. That's good. I'm assuming you're praying. I'm just going to assume that. If you're not, get a daily prayer life. Commit to daily prayer, kind of like I just said to Adam. If you can't have an interior life, you're not going to grow in great wisdom. Another thing I would say is form your mind. You know, we live in an age that's not a very wise age. We live in an age that's, again, that's very secular, and we waste our time on many things. We put our mind on many things that just don't really matter. They're not going to make us more wise. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong watching a good sporting event. I'm a big soccer fan. I love to catch up on highlights, my favorite teams in Europe. And every once in a while, I may watch an actual full game. And I don't think there's anything wrong. It's nice leisure entertainment. But there's some guys that just spend tons of hours. They have to check every day ESPN, and they're watching something every day. Like if you're just pouring your life out in sports, you could be filling your mind with other things. Reading a good book about the Catholic faith. Reading about the lives of the saints, like I mentioned earlier. Reading the Bible, that's going to make you wise. A lot of people spend time on social media. How many people just spend so much time on Instagram and scrolling from one thing to the next? And they'll say, oh, but there's nice, I like these quotes. They're good and inspirational memes. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell you that is not going to make you wise. I'm not saying they're bad. Yes, they might inspire you, but it's like good, wholesome Catholic entertainment. Real wisdom comes from forming your mind. And how do you form your mind? One of my favorite heroes in our modern era, Archbishop Charles Chaput, used to be the bishop here in Denver, now a retired bishop from Philly. He says, if you want to be wise, you want to form your mind, you got to read good books. Take time to read books, because, you know, just and listen to Catholic Answers. This our interview show like this helps you fill your mind with good things. Podcasts can fill your mind with good things. EWTN can fill your mind with good things. But ultimately, reading a good book does something deeper. It becomes more a part of you. You're learning things. So learn about the virtues. Read about the saints. Read about read from God's word and sacred scripture. Really make reading more a priority. And we live in an age that doesn't like to read. You don't need to be a scholar. You don't need to be a big academic, but you need to regularly have a book by your bedstand and spend time with that book and not your screen, not your cell phone. Talk to your wife. You do that too, and talk to your kids. but have time to fill your mind every day with some kind of reading. I think that's going to be helpful as well. Last thing to help you grow in wisdom, I mentioned earlier, surround yourself with good friends, especially people that are a couple steps ahead of you in life. People that you know are holier, people that you know are wise. You spend time with wise people, you'll become more wise yourself.
Scott, what a wonderful question. Thank you so much for asking that. Very much appreciate the call. Dr. Edward Sri is our guest. Oh, by the way, the Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. That's just in case anyone wonders what Scott is talking about. Dr. Italy is Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio and Dr. Sri and Dr. D'Ambrosio and then Jeff Cavins all together in these magnificent videos about Jesus. I can't even tell you how many people I've recommended them to. And maybe in your parish, maybe in your men's group, you can do them together as Scott is with his group, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Hey, if you want to call 888-318-7884 with your questions about the art of living, the cardinal virtues, and the freedom to love. Right back with more calls for Dr. Edward Sri right after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
There are some people who are super imminent. Now, the most imminent example would clearly be the person of Moses as such a luminescent character, reflecting the divine glory, that the Israelites could not physically look at him.
Wow.
The man had to veil his face because he was like this giant walking light bulb.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Our number, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest, Dr. Edward Sri. Maybe you know him from Symbolon. Symbolon, really? That was a big deal. I mean, I'm not saying it's not now, but I remember when it came out, so many people benefited from that. And it was just like, I don't know, it's one of those things where I do feel like we've had several generations of maybe compromised catechesis. And so people in my age, or maybe a little younger than me, these things like Symbolon come along and you're like, well, that's the stuff they were supposed to, they were supposed to be teaching me when I was in CCD. But now I like the beauty of the faith.
Yeah. It was originally designed for RCIA, right?
But, oh yeah.
But as Pope John Paul II said, most adult Catholics are quasi catechumens. They're practically, yeah, you know, they haven't been catechized and they haven't had a deep encounter with Christ. And so, yeah, it was a great blessing to work with the Augustine Institute on that particular project to walk through the entirety of the Catholic faith and give the kind of faith formation that many of us didn't get growing up.
Right.
Then hopefully we can pass it on to others. So, yeah, and I know parishes have used it, yes, for RCIA, but I meet more people that were just adults that just said, this gave me the formation I never got before.
Oh, that's what I've seen too, is parishes that just offered it as, you know, we'll do one of the videos, or and then we'll have a discussion after, and then they do it for weeks, you know, on end. It's just one of those things where we need to be educated in the faith to be excited in the faith. And then once you are, though, it's wild how people go, oh man, this Catholic thing is really, really good, so full of all these wonderful things. Let me give out the phone number again, and I am going to go to calls in a second, but we started something we didn't finish, so I want to ask Dr. Sri to finish it. 888-318-7884, the number. So you talked about the steps of growing in virtue. I think we got to one. I'm not sure how many we got to.
Okay. But. Yeah, this is, again, from the Catholic faith. tradition, we articulate three ways to grow in virtue. The first one was educate ourselves. That's where I said, you know, learning about the virtues. You know, if I don't have a target to aim for in my life, I'm going to miss it every. I'm going to miss that target every time. So I need to make sure I know the virtues. Second thing that the church teaches is that we have to put in much effort. So a lot of effort. We have to work really hard to try to grow in virtue, to overcome our weaknesses, our sins, our shortcomings. And I think what's interesting is the way the Catholic faith goes after this, that many times I think people, like when they think about, I got to overcome my weakness, it's about, okay, I'm going to say no to these things. So I eat too much. So I'm going to say no to that cake, no to that cake, no, 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 just say no to it. Or, you know, I worry too much, you know, and I'll just say, no, I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be worried. You know, whatever it is, like, that's not the best way. The saints will tell us the best way to overcome your weakness isn't to focus on the weakness and eradicating it. It's to practice the virtue that is the opposite of that weakness. And if I go after that virtue, then that weakness will dissipate and go to the wayside. So, for example, let's say I'm someone that it tends to dominate conversation. I talk too much, and I'm vain. I like to just dominate conversation and draw attention to myself. So, and rather than say I'm not going to talk so much, I'm not going to talk so much, I'm not going to talk so much, it's better to practice the other virtue of maybe humility, and not dominate conversation. More like instead of saying no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask other people questions. Oh, what did you think of the game? Or what did you think of the meeting? And draw other people in, have kindness, practice kindness and drawing others and make them feel a part, as opposed to me having to talk all the time. So my practice of humility and kindness overcomes my vain attempts to always dominate conversation. Maybe another example would be, we live in an age of anxiety. A lot of people are anxious and worried about so many things. They're worried about this. They want to control this situation. They're worried about the virus. They're worried about their finances. They're worried about a dating relationship. They're worried about one of their kids. And we're just always so worried. And rather than saying, I'm not going to be anxious, I'm not going to be anxious, I'm not going to be anxious, I want to do is practice the opposite virtue, which is trust in God, trust in his providence, that no matter what happens, it's always for our good. Jesus himself said, do not be anxious. Anxiety is never from God. Being concerned and, you know, really, you know, thinking through prudently is good, we've seen. But Jesus never wants us to lose our peace. When we lose our interior peace, that's a sign something's off. So what do I do? How do I conquer, you know, my tendency to anxiety and fear is to arm myself with something like that prayer from St. Faustina. Jesus, I trust in you. I just say those words, Jesus, I trust in you, to try to battle that anxiety. Or I have a scripture verse in my head, like Romans 8:28. Do I really believe that, as Paul says, in all things, God works for good in those who love him? Do I really believe that? That in all things, that no matter what's happening right now, no matter what might happen in the future, that God's in charge. And if he allows this to happen, it's for some good. He can work good out of it. He can work some good for others. He can work good in my soul, helping me grow in some way, grow in patience, grow in surrender, grow in greater trust. Do I really believe in all things God works for good in those who love him? So these are examples of how we grow in virtue, not just by focusing on our weakness, but by practicing the opposite virtues that overcome those sins.
I find that one so helpful, and I love being reminded of it, because I forget, and then it's like that idea of working on the strength that opposes or that builds up the virtue, and that virtue then overcomes the weakness. You don't have to just be white knuckling it all the time. Elizabeth in Lincoln, Nebraska, you're up next. Go ahead, Elizabeth, with your question.
This is more of a technical question. First of all, Dr. Sri, I really love the Cymbalan videos. My fiance and I are taking classes at my Catholic church. We missed a couple classes because of illness, and so we've been trying to watch those videos on YouTube. However, when I get on YouTube, it only will give us 13 videos, and it says the rest are hidden because they're no longer available. I know that's more of a technical question,
Well, that's great. They're just not on YouTube. You have to go somewhere else, which I'll tell you about right now. But first of all, thank you. I'm glad to know they're helpful, and blessings on your marriage. I'll say a prayer for you in your engagement here.
Thank you.
But yeah, for the listeners, like Cy and I were talking about Cymbalan, it's spelled symbol on, like all one word. Just so everybody knows, that's the ancient Greek word used, the early Christians used to describe the creed. And so that's the idea, that we're walking through the basics of the faith. But you can find those videos. Actually, go to formed.org. At the Augustine Institute, they run formed.org, and right there, all the videos in their entirety, the workbooks, everything's there. So go to formed.org, and you can access all the videos there. You could also probably talk to your parish, ask your parish. Your parish probably has a subscription to formed.org, and then you don't even have to pay. You can get it that way. But even if you do want to pay, it's pretty pretty small amount, much cheaper than a Netflix subscription, so worth getting. All right. So thank you, Elizabeth. Hope that helps.
And God bless you, Elizabeth. I take it that the courses are for you to enter the Catholic Church.
For my fiance is considering entering. And this would be my second time through RCIA classes as an adult, just because I like to keep it fresh.
Good for you.
And he's really enjoying it. So,
well, if you hang on the line, I'll send you a copy of Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic. Maybe he'll enjoy that book as he's going through it. Lots and lots of folks considering the Catholic faith have enjoyed it. Elizabeth, thank you. I got to get as many as I can on now with Dr. Sri. So heading over to Detroit. Rob in Detroit watching on YouTube. You are next. Go ahead, Rob, with your question for Dr. Sri.
Sure. Just a real quick greeting to the venerable Saint Cy. But anyway, I just recently returned to the church, and right now, all of my confessions are attrition. I want to know how I can get to love the Lord, so I can be truly contrite, and not just being afraid of going to hell. And I don't understand what my deal is, because I should absolutely love the Lord. He's generous and gave me life and everything, but I don't trust myself. I don't know if I've just grown too used to everything being here for me, and thus I'm a greedy, spoiled child, or do I love the Lord and don't see it? I mean, if you could just touch on that and maybe help me and maybe anyone else who has this problem. And if you guys don't mind, I'll hang up and listen to the answer.
Well, thank you for
God bless you both.
You too. God bless you. And thank you for about the most beautiful question a human can ask. How can I love the Lord more?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Thank you for that, Rob. You know, I think, you know, this does relate to the topic of justice on a certain level, but also relates to this deeper question of love. But in terms of justice, when we've sinned and we've hurt someone, hurt a relationship, you know, we should want to set things right, you know, not, and it's not out of like fear. Like, so for example, when I hurt my wife, you know, maybe I wasn't thinking about something I should have been thinking, or I didn't thank her enough, or I hurt her feelings, I said something I shouldn't have said, you know, she might be mad, and maybe I say sorry because I'm so scared that she's just going to be mad at me, you know? And that's, you know, that's one motivation, but deep down, I just feel badly that I hurt my relationship with her. I don't want to hurt her. And so that's why I will say sorry. You know, just the other day, there was something I said, and I shouldn't have said it that way, and I didn't mean to, but I saw how it affected her, and I was like, I'm sorry. I really did mean that. You know, and that's coming from my heart, not just because I'm afraid that she's going to be mad at me, but I don't want to hurt my wife. I want to have a good friendship with her. Same thing with God. When we've sinned, it's not just like, oh, I'm afraid God's going to be mad at me. He's going to send me to hell or purgatory for a long time. You know, what should be motivating me is love, that I don't want to hurt my relationship with this God who's given himself so freely to me. I want to set things right. And so this idea of moving to contrition, now, how do we do that? Let's talk about that, because I want to be clear. There's sometimes when you are contrite, And people, you might see people are very, you know, they have a deep emotional feeling about it, and maybe there's all these tears and all that, and that's beautiful when that's there, but I don't want you to feel like it has to be that way all the time. You know, if I want to encourage you, go read Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a Bible passage written by David. It's David after he committed his great sin. He committed adultery. He murdered the woman's husband so he could get the girl. I mean, it's really bad stuff from David, lowest point in his life. But he's called on his sin, and he repents, and he's truly sorry. And read Psalm 51. Read it to God. Tell him all your sins, big or small, I know have affected you and have affected others, Lord. I'm really sorry.
Thank you again to everyone who called. I'm sorry that there are callers we won't get to, apparently. But Dr. Sri, I just am so grateful that you're here. Why don't you just come back next week? Can you just do this again next week?
Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll talk more about love and the cross.
Okay. We'll talk about the cross, the stations of the cross next week with Dr. Sree, Dr. Edward Sree. The book, in case folks would like to get it, please do get it. You won't be sorry. The Art of Living, the Cardinal Virtues, and the Freedom to Love. Dr. Edward Sree, thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Si. God bless.
Right back, Carla Broussard, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.